Okay, good morning everyone and welcome to CCNA Discovery Networking for Home and Small Businesses Module 3 for 2010. In this chapter you will learn about how communication occurs over a network and about the many different components that need to operate together to make it network. After completion of this chapter, you should be able to explain the concept of networking and the benefits of networks, explain the concept of communications protocols, explain how communications occur across local Ethernet networks, describe access layer devices and communication methods on a local Ethernet network, describe distribution layer devices and communication methods across networks. Plan, implement and verify a local network. Introduction to networking. There are many types of networks that provide us different kinds of services. In the course of a day, a person might make a phone call, watch a television show, listen to the radio, look up something on the internet, or even play a video game with someone across another country. All these activities depend on robust, reliable networks. Networks provide the ability to connect people and equipment no matter where they are in the world. People use networks without ever thinking about how they work or what it would be like if the networks did not exist. What is a network? Computer data network provides communications between computers via copper, fiber optic, and wireless connections. Television networks provide regular and high-definition broadcasts over the air via cable and satellite networks. Telephone networks connect callers and allow modem connections via traditional landlines. Mobile phone networks connect mobile callers to voice, text, internet via mobile phone system. Communication technology in the 1990s and before required separate, dedicated networks for voice, video, and computer data communications. Each of these networks required a different type of device in order to access the network. Telephones, televisions, and computers used specific technologies and different dedicated network structures to communicate. But what if people wanted to access all of these network services at the same time, possibly using a single device? Network technologies create a new kind of network that delivers more than a single type of service. Unlike dedicated networks, these new converged networks are capable of delivering voice, video, and data services over the same communications channel or network structure. New products are coming to the market to take advantage of the capabilities of converged information networks. People can now watch live video broadcasts on their computers, make a telephone call over the internet with the voice over IP telephony service, either through a soft phone or a dedicated VoIP phone, or search the internet using television. Converged networks make this possible. In this course, the term network refers to these multi-purpose converged information networks. Benefits of networking. Networks come in all sizes. They can range from a simple network consisting of two computers to networks connecting millions of devices. Networks installed in small offices or home offices are referred to as SOHO networks, and SOHO is small office, home office. SOHO networks enable sharing of resources such as printers, documents, pictures and music between a few local computers. Like when I described to you last week that we have one printer here which is shared through each of the computers on our network, which is connected to one of the computers in the network. In business, large networks can be used to advertise and sell products, order supplies, or can communicate with customers. Communication over a network is usually more efficient and less expensive than traditional forms of communication, such as regular mail or long-distance phone calls. Networks allow for rapid communication such as email, instant messaging, and provide consolidation, storage, and access to information on network servers. Business and SOHO networks usually provide a shared connection to the internet. The internet is considered a network of networks because it is literally made up of thousands of networks that are connected to each other. There are other uses of the network on the internet, sharing music and video files, research and online learning as we're doing now, chatting with friends through many online chat programs like Skype and Messenger, planning vacations and purchasing gifts and supplies, and many others. Small home networks connect a few computers to each other and the internet. The small office, home office network enables computers within a home or remote office to connect to a corporate network and have access to centralized shared resources. Medium to large networks, such as those in like corporate and schools, can have many locations with hundreds or thousands of interconnected computers. Worldwide networks. The internet is a network of networks that connect hundreds and of millions of computers worldwide. Basic network components. There are many components that can be part of a network. For example, personal computers, servers, network devices and cabling. These components can be grouped into four main categories: hosts, shared peripherals, networking devices, and networking media. The network components that people are most familiar with are host and shared peripherals. Hosts and devices that send and receive messages directly across the network. Shared peripherals are not directly connected to the network, but instead are connected to a host. The host then is responsible for the sharing the peripheral across the network. Hosts have computer software configured to enable people on the network to use the attached peripheral device or devices. The network devices, as well as networking media, are used to interconnect the hosts. Some devices can play more than one role, depending on how they are connected. For example, a printer directly connected to a host, local printer, is a peripheral. A printer directly connected to the network device and participates directly in the network communications is a host. Peripherals. Shared peripherals devices do not communicate directly on the network. Instead, peripherals rely on their connected host to perform all network operations. Examples of peripherals are cameras, scanners, and local attached printers. Printers and scanners can be shared. Hosts send and receive user traffic. A host is a generic name for most end user devices. A host has an IP network address. Examples of hosts or personal computers and the network attached printers. Networking devices connect other devices, mainly hosts. These devices more move and control network traffic. Examples of network devices include hubs, switches, and routers. Network media provides connections between hosts and network devices. Network media can be wired, such as a copper and fiber optic, or use wireless technologies, like in your case, that many of you are using those wireless 3G dongles. Computer roles in a network. All computers connected to a network that participate directly in a network communication are classified as hosts. Hosts can send and receive messages on the network. In modern networks, computer hosts can act as a client, a server, or both. The software installed on the computer determines which role the computer plays. Servers and hosts that have software installed that enable them to provide information like email or web pages to other hosts on the network. Each service requires separate server software. For example, a host requires a web server software in order to provide web services to the network. Clients are computer hosts that have software installed that enable them to request and display the information obtained from the server. For example, a client software is a web browser like Internet Explorer. Computer roles in a network. Email server and email client. The email server runs the server software. The client uses mail client software such as Microsoft Outlook, Mozilla Thunderbird, and an older client program called Eudora to access email on the server. Web server and browser client. The web server runs server software. Clients use browser software such as Windows Internet Explorer, Mozilla Firefox, or Safari on the Mac to access web pages on the server. File and server file access client. The file server stores the files. The client device accesses the file. The client software such as Windows Explorer. A computer with server software can provide services simultaneously to one or more many clients. Additionally, a single computer can run multiple types of server software. In a home or small business, it may be necessary for one computer to act as a file server, a web server, and an email server. A single computer can also run multiple types of client software. There must be client software for every service required, such as web browsing or email and so on. With multiple clients installed, a host can connect to multiple servers at the same time. For example, a user can check email, view a web page, while instant messaging and listening to internet radio. Peer-to-peer networks. Client and server software usually runs on separate computers, but is also possible for one computer to carry out both roles at the same time. In small business and homes, many computers function as servers and clients on the network. This type of network is called peer-to-peer networking. The simplest peer-to-peer network consists of two directly connected computers using a wired or wireless connection. A peer-to-peer, commonly abbreviated P2P, is any distributed network architecture composed of participants that make a portion of their resources, such as processing power, disk storage, or network bandwidth, directly available to other network participants without the need for central coordination instances such as servers or stable hosts. Peers are both suppliers and consumers of resources, in contrast to traditional client-server model where only servers supply and clients consume. Peer-to-peer was popularized by file-sharing systems like Napster and now LimeWire and a few others. Peer-to-peer file-sharing networks have inspired new structures and philosophies in other areas of human interaction. In such social context, peer-to-peer as a meme refers to an egalitarian social networking that is currently emerging throughout society, enabled by internet technologies in general. Multiple PCs can also be connected to create a larger peer-to-peer network, but this requires a network device such as a hub or interconnection to the computers. The main disadvantage of peer-to-peer environment is that the performance of hosts can be slowed down if it is acting as both a client and a server at the same time. In larger business, due to the potential of high amounts of network traffic, it is often necessary to have dedicated servers to support the number of service requests. The advantages of peer-to-peer network are ease to set up, less complexity, lower cost, since network devices and dedicated service are not required, can be used for simple tasks such as transferring files and sharing printers. The disadvantages of peer-to-peer networking are no centralized administration, not as secure, they're not scalable, and all devices may act as both clients and servers, which can slow down performance. Microsoft operating systems have a built-in server software, which allows any computer to share stored files with other computers on the network. When you share a file, your computer is acting as a server. Also, Microsoft computer operating systems have a built-in client software which allows any computer to access shared files on another network computer. When you access a shared file, your computer is acting as a client. Network topologies. In a simple network consisting of a few computers, it is easy to visualize how all the various components connect. As networks grow, it is more difficult to keep track of the location of each component and how each is connected to the network. Wired networks require lots of cabling, network devices to provide connectivity for all network hosts. When networks are installed, a physical topology map is created to record where each host is located and how it is connected to the network. The physical topology map is also shows where the wiring is installed and the locations of the networking devices that connect the hosts. Icons are used to represent the actual physical devices within the topology map. It is very important to maintain and update physical topology maps to aid future installation and troubleshooting efforts, as in with any networking or even in general troubleshooting or anything like that, it's always better to document where and what things are. In addition to the physical topology map, it is sometimes necessary to also have a logical view of the network topology. A logical topology map groups hosts by how they use the network, no matter where they are physically located. Host names, addresses, group information, and applications can be recorded on the local topology map. Physical topology. The diagram is the study of network topologies recognize four basic technologies. Bus topology. In a local area networks where bus topology is used, each machine is connected to a single cable. Each computer or server is connected to the single cable bus cable to the same kind of connector. A terminator is required at each end of the bus cable to prevent signal bouncing back and forth on the bus cable. A signal from the source travels in both directions to all machines connected on the bus cable until it finds the MAC address or IP address on the network that is the intended recipient. If the machine address does not match the intended address for the data, the machine ignores the data. Alternatively, if the data does match the machine address, the data is accepted. Since the bus topology consists of only one wire, it is rather expensive to implement when compared to other topologies. However, the low cost of implementing the technologies is offset by the high cost of managing the network. Additionally, since one cable is utilized, it can be the one single point of failure. If the network cable breaks, the entire network will go down. The next is a star network topology. In local area networks with a star topology, each network host is connected to a central hub. In contrast to the bus topology, the star topology connects each node to the hub with point-to-point connection. All traffic traverses the network, passes through the central hub. The hub acts as a signal booster or repeater. The star topology is considered the easiest topology to design and implement. An advantage of star topology is the simplicity of adding additional nodes. The primary disadvantage of the star topology is that the hub represents a single point of failure. And the next is an extended star topology, a type of topology network in which a network that is based on the physical star topology has one or more repeaters between the central node, the hub of the star, and the peripheral and or spoke nodes, the repeaters being used to extend the maximum transmission distance of the point-to-point links between the central node and the peripheral nodes beyond that supported by the transmitter power of the central node, or beyond that which is supported by the standard upon which the physical layer of the physical star network is based. If the repeaters in the network that are based upon the physical extended star topology are replaced with hubs and switches, then a hybrid network topology is created that is referred to as a physical hierarchical star topology. Although some texts may not have no distinction between the two topologies. The next topology we have is called a ring network topology. In local area networks where the ring topology is used, each computer is connected to the network in a closed loop or ring. Each machine or computer has a unique address that is used for identification purposes. The signal passes through each machine or computer connected to the ring in one direction. Ring topologies utilize a token passing scheme used to control access to the network. By utilizing this scheme, only one machine can transmit on the network at one time. The machines or computers connected to the ring act as signal boosters and or repeaters, which strengthen the signals that traverses the network. The primary disadvantage of ring topology is the failure of one machine will cause the whole entire network to fail. And the next is a tree topology network, also known as a hierarchical network. The type of network topology in which a central root node, the top level of the hierarchy, is connected to one or more of other nodes that are one level lower in the hierarchy. The second level with a point-to-point link between each of the second level nodes and the top level central node, root node, while each other of the second level nodes that are connected to the top level central node will also have one or more other nodes that are one level lower in the hierarchy. The third level connected to it also with a point-to-point link. The top level central root node being the only node that has no other node above it in the hierarchy. The hierarchy of the tree is symmetrical. Each node in the network having a specific fixed number of nodes connected to it at the next lower level in the hierarchy. The number being referred to as branching factor of the hierarchical tree. A network that is based upon the physical hierarchical topology must have at least three levels in the hierarchy of the tree. Since a network with a central root node and one hierarchical level below, it would exhibit the physical topology of a star. A network that is based upon a physical hierarchical topology and with a branching factor of 1 would be classified as a physical linear topology. And the next one is a hybrid topologies. Hybrid networks are used as a combination of two or more topologies in such a way that the resulting network does not exhibit one or more standard topologies, for example, bus, star, ring, etc. For example, a tree network connected to a tree network is still called a tree network, but two star networks connected to exhibit a hybrid technology network is another. A hybrid technology topology is always produced when two different basic network topologies are connected. Two common examples of hybrid network are star ring network and star bus network topologies. A star ring network consists of two or more star topologies connected using multi-station access unit, or MAU, as the centralized hub. A star bus network consists of two or more star topologies connected using bus trunk. The bus trunk services are the network's backbone. While grid networks have found popularity in high-performance computing applications, some systems have used genetic algorithms to design custom networks that have the fewest possible hops between different nodes. Some of the resulting layouts are nearly incomprehensible, although they function quite well. The next section we talk about is principles of communication. There's source, channel, and destination. The primary purpose of any network is to provide a method to communicate information. From the very earliest primitive humans to the advanced scientists of today, sharing information with others is crucial to human advancement. All communications begin with a message or information that is to be sent from one individual or device to another. The methods used to send, receive, and interpret messages change over time as technologies advance. All communication methods have three elements in common. The first of these elements in the message source or sender. Message source are people or electronic devices that need to communicate to message to other individuals or devices. The second element of communication is the destination or receiver of the message. The destination receives the message and interprets it. The third element, called the channel, provides the pathway over which the message can travel from source to destination. And then we have rules of communication. In any conversation between two people, there are many rules or protocols that the two must follow in order for the message to be successfully delivered and understood. Among the protocols for successful human communication are identification of sender and receiver, agree upon medium or channel, face-to-face, telephone, letter, or photograph, appropriate communication mode, spoken, written, illustrated, interactive, or one-way, common language, grammar and sentence structure, speed and timing of delivery. Imagine what would happen if no protocols or rules existed to govern how people communicated with each other. Would you be able to understand them? Are you able to read the paragraph that does not follow commonly accepted protocols? Rules govern communications between humans. It is very difficult to understand messages that are not correctly formatted and do not allow the established rules and protocols. The structure of the grammar, the language, the punctuations and the sentence make the configuration humanly understandable for many different individuals. Protocols are specific to the characteristics of the source, channel and destinations of the message. The rules used to communicate over the one medium, like a telephone call, are not necessarily the same as communication with another medium, such as a letter. Protocols define the details of how the message is transmitted and delivered. These include message format, message size, timing, encapsulation, encoding, and standard message pattern. Many of the concepts and rules that make human communication reliable and understandable also apply to computer communication. Message encoding, one of the first steps to sending a message is encoding it. Written words, pictures and spoken languages use a unique set of codes, sounds, gestures and or symbols to represent the thoughts being shared. Encoding is a process of converting thoughts into language, symbols or sounds for transmission. Decoding reverses this process in order to interpret the thought. Encoding occurs in the computer communication. Encoding between hosts must be an appropriate form for the medium. Messages sent across the network are first converted into bits by sending host. Each bit is encoded into patterns of sounds, light waves, or electrical impulses. Depending on the network media over which the bits are transmitted. The destination host receives and decodes the signals in order to interpret the message. For an example, the computer communication between two systems are as follows. One PC1 begins the communication. It is determined to be a message source. PC1 begins encoding the message and transmits it to PC2. The digital signal generated by PC1 as a data stream is received by PC2. The transmission medium is the link between PC1 and PC2, which is defined as the channel. The receiver PC2 receives the communication from PC1 and decodes the signal so it can understand the content. The receiver is known as the destination at where decoding occurs. Message formatting. When a message is sent from a source to destination, it must use specific format or structure. Message formats depend on the type of message and the channel that is used to deliver the message. Letter writing is one of the most common forms of written human communication. For centuries, the agreed format for personal letters has not changed. In many cultures, a personal letter contains the following elements: a letter identifier of the recipient, a salutation or greeting, the message content, the closing phrase, and identifier of the sender. In addition to having the correct format, most personal letters must have also be enclosed or encapsulated in an envelope for delivery. The envelope has an address of the sender and a receiver on it, each located at the proper place in the envelope. If the destination address and formatting are not correct, the letter is not delivered. The process of placing one message format, the letter, inside another message format, the envelope, is known as encapsulation. De-encapsulation occurs when the process is reversed by the recipient and the letter is removed from the envelope. A letter writer uses an accepted format to ensure that the letter is delivered and understood by the recipient. In the same way, a message that is sent over a computer network follows specific format rules for it to be delivered and processed. Just a letter that encapsulates okay, that's fine. Just as a letter is encapsulated in an envelope for delivery, so computer messages are encapsulated. Each computer message is encapsulated in a specific format called a frame before it is sent over the network. A frame acts like an envelope. It provides the address of the intended destination and the address of the source host. The format and contents of the frame are determined by the type of message being sent and the channel over which it is communicated. Messages that are not correctly formatted are not successfully delivered to or processed by the destination host. The composition of a computer message sent from one sender to the recipient, the frame composition are as follows: frame addressing, destination physical hardware address, which is your MAC address, source physical hardware address, end of frame, each end of message indicator. Encapsulated message, start flag, start of the message indicator, recipient, destination identifier, sender, source identifier, encapsulated data bits. Message size. Imagine what it would be like to read this course if it all appeared as one long sentence. It would not be easy to read or comprehend. When people communicate with each other, the messages that they are sent are usually broken into smaller parts or sentences. These sentences are limited in size to what that the receiving person can process at one time. An individual conversation may be made up of smaller sentences to ensure that each part of the message is received and understood. Likewise, when a long message is sent from one host to another over the network, it is necessary to break that message up into smaller pieces. The rules that govern the size of the pieces or frames communicated across the network are very strict. They can also be different depending on the channel used. Frames that are too long or too short are not delivered. The size restrictions of frames require the source host to break a long message into individual pieces that meet both the minimum and maximum size requirements. Each piece is encapsulated in a separate frame within the address information and is sent over the network. At the receiving host, the messages are de-encapsulated and put back together to be processed and interpreted. One factor that affects how well a message is received and understood is timing. People use timing to determine when to speak, how fast or slow to talk, and how long to wait for a response. These are rules of engagement. Access method determines when someone is able to send a message. These timing rules are based on the environment. For example, you may be able to speak whenever you have something to say. In this environment, a person must wait until no one else is talking before speaking. If two people talk at the same time, a collision of information occurs, and it is necessary for the two to back off and start again. These rules ensure communication is successful. Likewise, it is necessary for computers to define an access method. Hosts on a network need an access method to know when to begin sending messages and how to respond when it occurs. Flow control is timing is also affects how much information can be sent and the speed that it can be delivered. If one person speaks too quickly, it is difficult for the other person to hear and understand the message. The receiving person must ask the sender to slow down. In network communication, a sending host can transmit messages at a faster rate than the destination host can receive and process. Source and destination hosts use flow control to negotiate correct timing for successful communication. Response timeout. If a person asks a question and does not hear a response within an acceptable amount of time, the person assumes that there is no answer coming and reacts accordingly. the person may repeat the question or may go into the conversation. Hosts on the network also have rules that specify how long to wait for responses and what action to take if a response timeout occurs. Message patterns. Sometimes a person wants to communicate information to a single individual. At other times, the person may need to send information to a group of people at the same time, or even all people in the same area. A conversation between two people is an example of one-to-one pattern of communication. When a group of recipients need to receive the same message simultaneously, a one-to-many or one-to-all message pattern is necessary. There are also times when the sender of a message needs to be sure that the message is delivered successfully to the destination. In these cases, it is necessary for the recipient to return an acknowledgement to the sender. If no acknowledgement is required, the message pattern is referred to as unacknowledged. Hosts on a network use similar message patterns to communicate. A one-to-one message pattern is referred to as a unicast, meaning that it is only a single destination for that message. When a host needs to send messages using a one-to-one pattern, it is referred to as a multicast. Multicasting is the delivery of the same message to a group of host destinations simultaneously. If all hosts on the network need to receive the message at the same time, a broadcast is used. Broadcasting represents a one-to-all message pattern. Additionally, hosts have requirements for acknowledgement versus unacknowledged messages. In computer communication, unicasts send from the source to a single destination within a broadcast domain or a group of potential destinations. Multicast sent from the source to multiple destinations within the broadcast domain or group of destinations. Broadcast sent from the source to all hosts within the broadcast domain or group of destinations. Protocol used in communication. All communication, both human and computer, is governed by pre-established rules or protocols. These protocols are determined by characteristics of the source, channel, and destination. Based on the source, channel, and destination, the protocols define the details for all the issues of the message format, message size, timing, encapsulation, encoding, and standard message pattern. Communication on a local wired network and importance of protocols. Computers like humans use rules or protocols in order to communicate. Protocols are especially important on local network. In a wired environment, a local network is defined as an area where all hosts must speak the same language or, in computer terms, share a common protocol. If everyone in the same room spoke a different language, they would not be able to communicate. Likewise, if devices in a local network did not use the same protocols, they would not be able to communicate. The most common set of protocols used on a local wired networks is Ethernet. The Ethernet protocol defines many aspects of communication over the local network, including message format, message size, timing, encoding, and message patterns. The standardization of protocols. In early days of networking, each vendor used their own proprietary methods of interconnecting network devices and networking protocols. Equipment from one vendor could not communicate with equipment from another. As networks became more widespread, standards were developed that define rules which network equipment from different vendors operated. Standards are beneficial to networking in many ways, and they facilitate design, simplify product development, promote competition, provide consistent interactions, facilitate training, and provide more vendor choices for customers. There are no official local network standard protocol, but over time one technology, Ethernet, has become the common, is more common than others. It has become the de facto standard. Network communication protocols that were first developed by companies as proprietary protocols and were for the most part vendor specific. These protocols established in the early 1970s were by IBM, NCR, Xerox, DEC and HP. As time progressed in the 1980s, brought the development of major standardized protocols such as the Ethernet, IEEE 802.3, ArcNet 802.4, and Token Ring 802.5. With widespread expansion of the Internet in the 1990s, the eventual winner in the protocol race was Ethernet 802.3, circa, it was around 2000. The Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, or IEEE, pronounced it IEEE, maintains the networking standards, including Ethernet and wireless standards. IEEE committees are responsible for approving and maintaining the standards for connections, media requirements, and communication protocols. Each technology standard is assigned a number that refers to the committee that is responsible for approving and maintaining the standard. The committee responsible for the Ethernet standard is 802.3. Since the creation of Ethernet in 1973, standards evolved by specific faster for specifying faster and more flexible versions of technology. The ability of Ethernet to improve over time is one of the main reasons that it has become so popular. Each version of Ethernet has an associated standard. For example, 802.3/100BASE-T represents the 100 megabit Ethernet using twisted pair cable standards. The standard notation translates that 100 is the speed in Mbps, which is megabits per second. BASE stands for baseband transmission, and the T stands for type of cable, in this case twisted pair. In early versions of the Ethernet were relatively slow at 10 megabits per second. The latest version of Ethernet operates at 10 gigabits per second or even faster. Imagine how much faster these new versions are than the original Ethernet networks. Standardization of protocols. In 1973, Ethernet developed by Dr. Robert Metcalf at Xerox Corp. In 1980, Digital Equipment Corp, Intel and Xerox released a standard for 10 megabit Ethernet over coaxial. In 1983, IEEE 802.3/10BASE-5 10 megabits Ethernet over thick coaxial cable. In 1985, IEEE 802.3A 10BASE-2, which was 10 megabits over thin coaxial cable. In 1990, 802.3i 10BASE-T, it was 10 megabits Ethernet over twisted pair. In 1993, 802.3j was 10BASE-F, which was 10 megabits Ethernet over fiber optic. In 1995, 802.3U was 100BASE-X fast Ethernet, which was 100 megabits Ethernet over twisted pair and fiber various standards. In 1996, 802.3Z, which was 100BASE-X gigabit Ethernet over fiber optic. 1999, 802.3A and B, 100BASE-T gigabit Ethernet over twisted pair. And then in 2002, 802.3A to E is 10 gigabit base X, which was 10 gigabit Ethernet over fiber. And finally, in 2006, 802.3AN is 10G base T gigabit Ethernet over twisted. Physical addressing. All communication requires a way to identify the source and destination. The source and destination in a human communication are represented by names. On the Ethernet network, a similar method exists for identifying source and destination hosts. Each host connected to an Ethernet network is assigned a physical address, which serves to identify the host on the network. Every Ethernet network interface has a physical address assigned to it when it's manufactured. This address is known as the Media Access Control, or MAC address. The MAC address identifies each source and destination host on the network. So every, whether it's wired or wireless, device in your laptop or desktop has a MAC address, which is assigned to it when at the point of manufacture. Ethernet networks are cable-based, meaning that a copper or fiber optic cable connects host and networking devices. This is the channel used for communication between the hosts. When a host on an Ethernet network communicates, it sends frames containing its own MAC address as a source and the MAC address of the intended recipient. Any host that received the frame will decode the frame and read the destination MAC address. If the destination MAC address matches the address configured on the NIC, it will process the message and store it for the host application to use. If the destination MAC address does not match the host address, the NIC will ignore the message. Ethernet communication. The Ethernet protocol standards define many aspects of the network communication, including frame format, frame size, timing, and encoding. When messages are sent between hosts on an Ethernet network, the host format the messages into the frame layout that is specified by the standards. Frames are also known as protocol data units or PDUs. The format for Ethernet frames specifies the location of the destination and source MAC addresses and the additional information, including preamble for sequencing and timing, start of frame delimiter, length of frame type, and frame check sequence to detect transmission errors. The size of Ethernet frames is limited to a maximum of 15-18 bytes and a minimum size of 64 bytes. Frames that do not match these limits are not processed by the receiving host, in addition to the frame formats, sizes, and timing. Ethernet standards define how the bits making up the frames are encoded on the channel. Bits are transmitted in either electrical impulses over copper cable or light impulses over fiber optic cable. The structure of the Ethernet frame is a preamble 7 bytes defines a pattern of alternating 1s and 0 bits used to synchronize timing. Start of delimiter, frame delimiter, sorry, SFD. 1 byte marks the end of the timing information and start of the frame. Destination MAC address. 6 bytes contains the destination MAC address and the receiver. The destination MAC address can be a unicast, multicast, or broadcast. Source address, 6 bytes contains the source MAC address and the sender. This is the address of the Ethernet node that transmitted the data. Length or type is 2 bytes supports 2 different uses. A type value indicates which protocol will receive the data. The length indicates the number of bytes of data that follows the field. Encapsulated data 46 to 1500 bytes, the payload and sizing requirements stipulate between 64 to 1518 bytes for the entire frame. A frame check sequence, or FCS, is 4 bytes containing a 4 byte value that is created by the device that sends the frame and is recalculated by the destination device to check for damage of the frame. Hierarchical design of the Ethernet networks. On an Ethernet network, the host MAC address is similar to a person's name. A MAC address indicates the individual identity of a specific host, but does not indicate where on the network the host is located. If all hosts on the internet, over 400 million of them, were each identified by only their unique MAC address, imagine how difficult it would be to locate one single one. Additionally, Ethernet technology generates a large amount of broadcast traffic in order for hosts to communicate. Broadcasts are sent to all hosts within a single network. Broadcasts consume bandwidth and slow network performance. What would happen if the millions of hosts attached to the internet were all in one Ethernet network and were using broadcasts? For these two reasons, large Ethernet networks consisting of many hosts are not efficient. It is better to divide larger networks into smaller, more manageable pieces. One way to divide larger networks is to use a hierarchical design model. In networking, hierarchical design is used to group devices into multiple networks that are organized in a layered approach. It consists of smaller, more manageable groups that allow local traffic to remain local. Only traffic that is destined for other networks is moved to a higher layer. A hierarchical layered design provides increased efficiency, optimization of function, and increased speed. It allows the network to scale and required because additional local networks can be added without impacting the performance of the existing ones. The hierarchical design has 3 basic layers. Access layer to provide connections to hosts in local Ethernet networks. Distribution layer to interconnect the smaller local networks. And the core layer, a high-speed connection between distribution layer devices. With the new hierarchical design, there is a need for a logical addressing scheme that can identify the location of a host. This is the Internet Protocol IP addressing scheme, which you all identified by doing that small exercise I asked you to do the other day, which gave you an indication that everybody has a unique IP address, whether it be static or dynamic. And logical addressing on a host, the MAC address does not change. It is a physical assignment to the host network interface card and is known as the physical address, which is assigned at point of manufacture. The physical address remains the same regardless of where the host is placed on the network. The IP address is similar to the address of a person. It is known as a logical address because it is assigned logically based on where the host is located. The IP address or network address is assigned to each host by a network administrator based on the local network. IP addresses contain two parts. One part identifies the local network. The network portion of the address will be the same for all hosts connected to the same local network. The second part of the IP address identifies the individual host. Within the same local network, the host portion of the IP address is unique to each host. Both the physical MAC address and the logical IP addresses are required for a computer to communicate on a hierarchical network. Just like both the name and address of a person that are required to send a letter. Access and distribution layers and devices. IP traffic is managed based on the characteristics and devices associated with each of the three layers, access, distribution, and core layers. The IP address is used to determine if traffic should remain local or moved up through the layers of the hierarchical network. The access layer provides a connection point for end user devices to the network and allows multiple hosts to connect to other hosts through a network device, usually a hub or a switch. Typically, all devices within a single access layer will have the same network portion of the IP address. If a message is destined for a local host based on the network portion of the IP address, the message remains local. If it is destined for a different network, it is passed up the distribution layer. Hubs and switches provide the connection to the distribution layer devices, usually a router. The distribution layer provides a connection point for separate networks and controls the flow of information between networks. It typically contains more powerful switches than the access layer, as well as routers for routing between networks. Distribution layer devices control the type and amount of traffic that flows from the access layer to the core layer. The core layer is a high-speed backbone layer with redundant backup connections. It is responsible for transporting large amounts of data between multiple networks. Core layer devices typically include very powerful high-speed switches and routers. And the main goal of the core layer is to transport data quickly. Hubs, switches, and routers are discussed in more detail in the next two sections. Building the access layer of an Ethernet network. The access layer is the most basic level of network. It is the part of the network in which people gain access to other hosts and to share files and printers. The access layer is composed of host devices, as well as the first line of networking devices to which they are attached. Networking devices enable us to connect to many hosts with each other and also provide those hosts access to services offered over the network. Unlike simple networks consisting of two hosts connected by a simple cable, in the access layer, each host is connected to a networking device. Within an Ethernet network, each host is able to connect directly to an access layer networking device using a point-to-point cable. These cables are often manufactured to meet specific Ethernet standards, such as the Ethernet standard 568A and 568B. The 568A is the straight through cable, and the 568B is used at the other end if you're making what's called a crossover cable, connecting like devices like two hubs or two switches or router to router, or two computers together, like I was explaining to Deshantha earlier. Each cable is plugged into a host, NIC, and then into a port on the networking device. There are several types of networking devices that can be used to connect hosts to an access layer, including Ethernet hubs and switches. Functions of hubs. A hub is one type of networking device that is installed at the access layer of an Ethernet network. Hubs contain multiple ports that are used to connect hosts to the network. Hubs are simple devices that do not have the necessary electronics to decode the messages sent between the host on the network. Hubs cannot determine which host should get any particular message. A hub simply accepts electronic signals from one port and regenerates or repeats the same message out of all the other ports. Remember that the NIC on a host accepts messages only addressed to that correct MAC address. Hosts ignore messages that are not addressed to them. Only the host specified in a destination address of the message processes the message and responds to the sender. All of the ports on the Ethernet hub connect to the same channel and send and receive messages. because all hosts must share the bandwidth available on that channel. A hub is referred to as a shared bandwidth device. Only one message can be sent through an Ethernet hub at one time. It is possible for two or more hosts connected to a hub to attempt to send a message at the same time. If this happens, the electronic signals that make up the message collide with each other at the hub. A collision causes the message to become garbled and unreadable by the hosts. A hub does not decode the messages, therefore it does not detect the message is garbled and repeats it at all ports. The area of the network where a host can receive a garbled message resulting from a collision is known as a collision domain. Inside a collision domain, when a host receives a garbled message, it detects that a collision has occurred. Each sending host waits a short amount of time and then attempts to send or retransmit the message again. As the number of hosts connected to the hub increases, so does the chance of collisions. More collisions cause more retransmissions. Excessive retransmissions can clog up the network and slow down network traffic. For this reason, it is necessary to limit the size of collision domains. Functions of switches. An Ethernet switch is a device that is used at the access layer. Like a hub, a switch connects multiple hosts to a network. Unlike a hub, a switch can forward a message to a specific host. When a host sends a message to another host on a switch, the switch accepts and decodes the frames to read the physical MAC address portion of the message. A table on the switch called a MAC address table contains a list of all the other active ports and the host MAC addresses that are connected to them. This is known as a CAM table or a content addressable memory table. And the term usually referring to the dynamic content addressable memory on the Ethernet switch. When a message is sent between hosts, the switch checks to see if the destination MAC address is in its table. If it is, the switch builds up a temporary connection called a circuit between the source and destination ports. This circuit provides a dedicated channel over which the two hosts can communicate. Other hosts attached to the switch do not share bandwidth on this channel and do not receive messages that are not addressed to them. A new circuit is built for every new conversation between hosts. These separate circuits allow many conversations to take place at the same time without collisions occurring. The functions of a switch. The source sends a packet to the destination. The switch receives a packet and checks the MAC table for a port to which the destination is connected. The packet is sent to the destination port. The diagram, when the switch receives a frame addressed to a new host, that is not yet in the MAC address table, if the destination MAC address is not in the table, the switch does not have the necessary information to create an individual circuit. When the switch cannot determine where the destination is host is located, it uses a process called flooding to forward the message out to all attached hosts. Each host compares the destination MAC address in the message and its own MAC addresses, but only the host in the correct destination addresses processes the message and responds to the sender. How does the MAC address of the new logic host get to the MAC address table? A switch builds the MAC address table by examining the source MAC address of the each frame that is sent between hosts. When a new host sends a message or responds to a flood message, the switch immediately learns its MAC address, addresses, and the port to which it is connected. The table is dynamically updated each time a new source MAC address is read by the switch. In this way, a switch quickly learns the MAC addresses to all attached hosts. Sometimes it is necessary to connect other networking devices, like a hub, to a switch. This is done to increase the number of hosts that can be connected to the network. But in most cases today, they use switches because of the equipment's become much cheaper now in comparison to what it was many years ago. When a hub is connected to a switch, the switch associates the MAC addresses of all the hosts connected to that hub with the single port on that switch. Occasionally, one host on the attached hub sends a message to another host attached to the same host attached. I'll just start that again. Occasionally, one host on the attached hub sends a message to another host attached to the same hub. In this case, the switch receives the frame and checks the table to see where the destination host is located. If both the source and destination hosts are located on the same port, the switch discards the message. When a hub is connected to a switch, collisions can occur on the hub. The hub forwards to all ports the damaged messages resulting from a collision. The switch receives the garbled message, but unlike a hub, a switch does not forward the damaged messages caused by collisions. As a result, every switch port creates a separate collision domain. This is a good thing. The fewer hosts contained in a collision domain, the less likely it is that a collision will occur. Broadcasting messages. When hosts are connected using either a hub or a switch, a single local network is created. Within the local network, it is often necessary for one host to be able to send messages to all hosts on that same network at the same time. This is done using a message known as a broadcast, Broadcasts are useful when a host needs to find out information, knowing exactly what other hosts can supply it, or when a host wants to provide information to all other hosts on the same network in a timely manner. A message A message can only contain one destination MAC address. So how is it possible for a host to connect to every other host on the local network without sending a separate message to each individual MAC address? To solve this problem, a broadcast messages are sent to a unique MAC address that is recognized by all hosts. The broadcast MAC address is actually a 48-bit address made up of all ones. Because of the length, MAC addresses are usually represented in hexadecimal notation. The broadcast MAC address is hexadecimal notation, and it is FF, 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 which is all ones in binary. Each F in the hexadecimal notation represents four ones in the binary address. When a host receives a message addressed to the broadcast address, it accepts and processes the message as though the message was addressed it directly. When a host sends a broadcast message, hubs and switches forward the message to every connected host within the same local network. For this reason, a local network is referred to as a broadcast domain. If too many hosts are connected to the same broadcast domain, broadcast traffic can become excessive. The number of hosts and the amount of network traffic that can be supported on the local traffic is limited by the capabilities of the hubs and switches used to connect them. As the network traffic grows, more hosts are added. Network traffic, including broadcast and traffic, increases. It is often necessary to divide one local network or broadcast domain into multiple networks to improve performance. In switch behavior, the MAC and IP. On local Ethernet networks, a network interface card, or NIC, only accepts a frame if the destination address is either the broadcast MAC address or else corresponds to the MAC address of that NIC. Most network applications, however, rely upon the logical destination IP address to identify the location of the servers and clients. What if a sending host only has the logical IP address of the destination host? How does the sending host determine what destination MAC address to place within the frame? The sending host can use an IP protocol called an Address Resolution Protocol, or ARP, to discover the MAC address of an host on the same local network. ARP uses a three-step process to discover and store the MAC address of a host on the local network when only the IP address of the host is known. The sending host creates and sends a frame addressed to a broadcast MAC address. Contained in the frame is a message with the IP address of the intended destination host. Each host on the network receives a broadcast frame and compares the IP addresses inside the message with its configured IP address. The host with the matching IP address sends its MAC address back to the original host sending host. The sending host receives the message and stores the MAC address and IP address information in a table called the ARP table, or Address Resolution Protocol table. Once the sending host has the MAC address of the destination host in its ARP table, it can send frames directly to the destination without doing an ARP request. Building the distribution layer of the network. Distribution layer, as networks grow, it is often necessary to divide a local network into multiple access layer networks. There are many ways to divide network based on different criteria, which include physical location, logical function, security requirements, and application requirements. The distribution layer connects these independent local networks and controls the traffic flowing between them. It is responsible for ensuring that the traffic between hosts on the local network stays local. Only traffic that is designed for other networks is passed on. The distribution layer can also filter incoming and outgoing traffic for security and traffic management. Networking devices that make up the distribution layer are designed to interconnect networks, not individual hosts. Individual hosts are connected to the network via the access layer devices, such as hubs and switches. The access layer devices are connected to each other via the distribution layer device, such as routers. In the broadcast containment, routers in the distribution layer can limit broadcasts to the local network where they need to be heard. Although broadcasts are necessary, too many hosts connected on the same local network can generate excessive broadcast traffic and slow down the network. Security. Routers in the distribution layer can separate and protect certain groups of computers where confidential information resides. Routers can also hide the addresses of internal computers from the outside world to help prevent attacks and control who can get into and out of the local network. Locations. Routers in the distribution layer can be used to interconnect local networks at various locations of an organization that are geographically separated. Routers in the distribution layer can be used to logically group users, such as departments within a company, who have common needs for access to resources. A router is used as a networking device that connects a local network to other networks. At the distribution layer of the network, routers direct traffic and perform other functions critical to efficient network operation. Routers, like switches, are able to decode and read the messages that are sent to them, unlike switches, which only decode or unencapsulate the frame containing the MAC address information, routers decode the packet that is encapsulated within the frame. The packet format contains the IP addresses of the destination and source hosts, as well as the message data being sent between them. The router reads the network portion of the destination IP addresses and uses it to find which one of the attached networks is best way to forward the message to the destination. Anytime the network portion of the IP address of the source and destination host do not match, a router must be used to forward the message. If a host located on a network, say 1.1.1.0, needs to send a message onto a different network, the host will forward the message to the router. The router received the message and unencapsulates it to read the destination IP addresses. It determines where to forward the message. It re-encapsulates the packet into the frame and forwards the frame at its destination to its destination. An IP packet encapsulated into a frame, Ethernet frame. The Ethernet frame consists of the destination MAC addresses moving from left to right within the frame, followed by the source MAC address. The destination and source MAC address sections of the frame are read by the layer 2 devices, such as a switch or a bridge. The source and destination MAC addresses are as follows. And it's giving you like the 48-bit addresses for the source and destination. The next fields in the frame are the destination IP and source IP addresses, depending on the subnet mask. Some bits belong to the network portion and some belong to the host portion. For example, within an IP address of 192.168.1.5, the first three octets, which are 192.168.1, belong to the network, and the .5 belongs to the host. In addition to the source and destination IP address, the IP packet contains the user data. The data is also known as the payload. The last part of the Ethernet frame is the trailer. The trailer finishes the encapsulation of the frame. How does the router determine what path to send the message to get to the destination network? Each port or interface on a router connects to a different local network. Each router contains a table of all locally connected networks and the interfaces that connect them. These routing tables can also contain information about the routes or paths that the router uses to reach other remote networks that are not locally attached. When a router receives a frame, it decodes the frame to get to the packet containing the destination IP address. It matches the address of the destination to all of the networks that are contained on the routing table. If the destination network address is in the table, the router encapsulates the packet in a new frame in order to send it out. It forwards a new frame out of the interface associated with the path to the destination network. The process of forwarding the packets towards their destination network is called routing. Routing interfaces do not forward messages that are addressed to the broadcast MAC address. As a result, local network broadcasts are not sent across routers to other local networks. The default gateway. The method that a host uses to send message to a destination on a remote network differs from the way a host sends messages on the same local network. When a host needs to send a message to another host located on the same network, it will forward the message directly. A host will use ARP to discover the MAC address of the destination host. It includes the destination IP address within the packet and encapsulates the packet into the frame containing the MAC address of the destination that it forwards out. On the other hand, when a host needs to send a message to a remote network, it must use the router. The host includes the IP address of the destination host within the packet just like before. However, when it encapsulates the packet into a frame, it uses the MAC address of the router as the destination for the frame. In this way, the router will receive and accept the frame based on the MAC address. How does the source host determine the MAC address of the router? A host is given an IP address of the router through the default gateway address configured in its TCP IP settings. The default gateway address is the address of the router interface connected to the same local network as the source. All hosts on the local network use the default gateway address to send messages to the router. Once the host knows the default gateway IP address, it can use ARP to determine the MAC address. The MAC address of the router then is placed in the frame destined to another network. It is important that the correct default gateway can be configured on each host on the local network, which can be signed statically, which is a permanent assigned by the administrator, or dynamically assigned each time the computer connects to the network. If no default gateway is configured in the host TCP IP settings, or if the wrong default gateway is specified, messages addressed to the host or remote networks cannot be delivered. Tables maintained by routers. Routers move information between local and remote networks. To do this, routers must both use ARP and routing tables to store information. Routing tables are not concerned with the addresses of individual hosts. Routing tables contain addresses of networks and the best path to reach those networks. Entries can be made by the routing table in two ways. Dynamically, updated information received by other routers in the network, or manually entered statically by the network administrator. Routers use the routing tables to determine which interface to use to forward messages to its intended destination. If the router cannot determine where to forward a message, it will be dropped. Network administrators configure a routing table with a default route to keep a packet from being dropped because the path of the destination network is not in the routing table. A default route is the interface through the router through which the router forwards a packet containing an unknown destination IP address. The default route usually connects to another router that can forward the packet towards the final destination network. A router forwards a frame to one of two places, a directly connected network containing an actual destination host, or to another router in the path to reach the destination host. When a router encapsulates the frame to forward it out the Ethernet interface, it must include a destination MAC address. This is the MAC address of the actual destination host. If the destination host is part of the local network, If the destination host is part of a network locally connected up to the router, if the router must forward the packet to another router, it will use the MAC address of the connected router. Routers obtain these MAC addresses from the ARP tables. Each router interface is part of the local network to which it is attached and maintains its own ARP table for that network. The ARP tables contain the MAC addresses and IP addresses of all the individual hosts on that network. In local area networks, the term local area network refers to a local network or a group of interconnected local networks that are under the same administration control. In the early days of networking, LANs were defined as small networks that existed in a single physical location. While local area networks can be in a single local network installed in a home or small office, the definition of LAN has evolved to include interconnected local networks consisting of many hundreds of hosts installed in multiple buildings and locations. The important thing to remember is that the local networks within a LAN are under the same administrative control. Other common characteristics of LANs are that they typically use Ethernet or wireless protocols, and they support high data rates. The term intranet is often used to refer to the private land that belongs to an organization and is designed to be accessible only by organization members, employees, and other authorization with that, sorry, or others with authorization. Adding hosts to local and remote networks. Within a LAN, it is possible to place all hosts on a single local network or divide them up between multiple networks connected by the distribution layer. The answer depends on the desired result. Placing all hosts on a single local network allows them to be seen by all other hosts. This is because there is one broadcast domain and hosts using ARP to find each other. In a simple network design, it may be beneficial to keep all hosts within a single local network. However, as networks grow in size, increased traffic and decreased network performance and speed, in this case, it may be beneficial to move some hosts onto a remote network. Placing additional hosts on remote networks will decrease the impact of traffic demands. However, hosts on one network will not be able to communicate with hosts on the other network without the use of routing. Routers increase the complexity of the network configuration and can introduce latency or time delay on packets sent from one local network to another. Two network topologies, a LAN consisting of a single local network and a LAN consisting of multiple networks connected by a central router. The conditions and characteristics for each of these networks are as follows. LAN with all hosts on a single network. A LAN with all hosts on a single network topology. Two switches directly connected to each other. Each switch is connected to 5 clients. And the advantages are appropriate for simpler networks, less complexity and lower network cost, allows devices to be seen by each other, faster data transfer because of the direct communication and ease of device access. And the disadvantages are all hosts are in the one broadcast domain, which causes more traffic on the segment and may slow network performance. LAN with hosts on different networks. A LAN with hosts on different networks on a single router has two fast Ethernet ports directly connected to layer 2 switches. The advantages of that would be appropriate for larger, more complex networks, splits up broadcast domains and decreases traffic, can improve performance on the segment, makes machines invisible to those on other local network segments, can improve increased security, and also can improve network organization. The disadvantages are requires the use of routing distribution layer. A router can slow traffic between segments. More complexity and expensive requires a router. Plan and connect the local network. Most local networks are based on Ethernet technology. This technology is both fast and efficient when used in properly designed and constructed network. The key is installing a good network. The key to installing a good network is planning before the network is actually built. A network plan starts with the gathering of information and how the network is to be used. This information includes the number of types and types of hosts to be connected to the network, the applications to be used, sharing and internet connectivity requirements, security and privacy considerations, reliability and uptime expectations, and connectivity requirements including wired and wireless. There are many considerations that must be taken into account when planning for network installation. The logical and physical topology maps of the network need to be designed and documented before the networking equipment is purchased and hosts are connected. Some things to consider should include the physical environment where the network is to be installed. And some of those considerations would be the temperature control. All devices have specific ranges of temperature and humidity requirements for proper operation. Availability and placement of power outlets. And physical configuration of the network. And those requirements that you should look at are physical location of devices such as routers, switches and hosts, how all devices are interconnected, location and length of cable runs, remembering with the standard like Cat5 cable, 100 meters is the maximum length, hardware configuration of end devices such as hosts and servers. Logical configuration of the network, and the consideration should be location and size of broadcast and collision domains, IP addressing scheme, naming scheme, sharing configuration, and permissions. The physical topology encompasses all the physical media and devices that may be found on a network. Included in the physical topology is the physical location of devices such as routers, switches, and hosts, as well as how all devices are interconnected. Also, pertinent to design is the location and length of cable runs and hardware configuration at end devices such as hosts and servers. The logical topology defines the addressing scheme used to name and address all machines on the network. Logical topology includes the IP addressing scheme, naming scheme, sharing configuration, permissions, and the local location and size of broadcast and collision domains. Prototypes. Once the network requirements are documented and the physical and logical topology maps are created, the next step in the implementation process is to test the network design. One of the ways to test a network design is to create a working model or prototype of the network. Prototyping is essential as networks grow in size and complexity. A prototype allows a network administrator to test whether or not the planned network will operate as expected before money is spent on equipment and installation. Documentation should be maintained on all aspects of prototyping process. Various tools and techniques are available for network prototyping. This includes real equipment set up in a lab environment, modeling and simulation tools. Packet Tracer is one example of a simulation or modeling tool that can be used for prototyping, and yes, it's not accessible at this point, but we're hoping for it to be accessible to us in the near future. And the multifunction device. Most home and small businesses is a network that require high volume device used. I'll just start again. Most home and small business networks do not require high volume device is used in large business environments. Small scale devices may well be suitable. However, the same functionality of routing and switching is required. This need has led to the development of products that have the functionality of multiple network devices, such as a router and switching functionality and wireless access points. For the purpose of this course, multifunction devices will be referred to as integrated routers. The integrated routers can range from small devices designed for home, office, and small business applications to more powerful devices that can support enterprise branch offices. An integrated router is like having several different devices connected together. For example, the connection between the switch and the router still occurs, but it occurs internally. When a broadcast is received on a switch port, the integrated router forwards the broadcast to all ports, including the internal router connection. The router portion of the integrated router stops the broadcasts from going any further. There are low-cost multifunction devices available for home and small business networks that offer integrated routing, switching, wireless, and security capabilities. For an example of this type integrated router is a Linksys wireless router. And they are simple in design and do not typically have separate components. In the event of a failure, it is not possible to replace any single failed component. As such, they create a single point of failure and do not optimize for any one function. Another example of an integrated router is the Cisco Integrated Services Router, or ISR. The Cisco Integrated Services Router product family offers a wide range of products, including those designed for small office and home office environments, as well as those designed for larger networks. Many of the integrated service routers offer modularity and have separate components for each function, such as a switch component and the router component. This enables individual components to be added replaced, and upgraded as necessary. As an example, connecting the Linksys router on the WRT300N model, on the front view you would see a light emitting diode, and there's a power LED and a WLAN LED that indicates the status of wireless connections. And there's four Ethernet LEDs, which indicate if there's any Ethernet cable connected to each of those ports. On those routers, the green indicates a connection has been made with an end device. Red or yellow usually indicates that there is a problem with that end device. And a blinking green LED indicates activity on the port. On the rear of those integrated routers on the Linksys Wireless 300N, a single port that is connected to the router portion of the multifunction device. This is used to connect the device to another network, such as the internet. The router portion of a multifunction device maintains the routing tables. There is an internal connection from the routing portion of the multifunction device to the switch portion. The internal port is connected to a different network than the Ethernet. Ethernet ports. Multiple ports that are connected to the internal switch port of the multifunction device. These are usually labeled Ethernet. All devices connected to the switch port are on the same local network. This is also an internal connection from the switch port to the router port, internal port. All devices connected to the switch port should be in the same broadcast domain. This means that all devices must have an IP address from the same network. Any device that has a different network portion within the IP address will not be able to communicate on that network. Additionally, Microsoft Windows makes use of a computer name to identify other devices on the network. It is important to use these names as well as the IP address information in the planning and documentation to assist future troubleshooting. To display the current IP address configuration in Microsoft Windows, you would use the command line called ipconfig, like I got you to do the other day. If you want more detailed information, including the host name, it is available with the ipconfig/all command, and the document all information from the connection and configuration process. Once hosts are communicating across the network, it is important to document network performance. This is known as determining the baseline of the network and is used as an indication of network normal operations. When comparing future network performance with the baseline, it can indicate if the possible issues exist. sharing resources. One of the most common purposes of networking is to share resources such as files and printers. Windows XP enables remote users to access a local machine and its resources through sharing. It is important to consider security issues, to assign specific permissions to shared resources. By default, Windows XP uses a process known as simple file sharing. With simple file sharing, specific users and groups cannot prevent from accessing shared files. Simple file sharing can be disabled so that more specific security access levels can be assigned. When this is done, the following permissions are available to assign the resources. Now, full control, you can either set it to modify or to read and execute, list folder contents, read or write access. When a user accesses a file on a remote device, Windows Explorer allows the user to map a drive to a remote folder or resource. This maps a specific drive letter, for example M, to the remote resource. This enables the user to treat the resource as though it were directly connected. This is the end of Module 3.